Yes, everyone, welcome back to Hidden Mentality. Just before we begin, I'm thrilled to say this episode is powered by Inhabit. The Inhabit method revolves around resolving the higher stresses and demands of life through breathwork. The Inhabit team has thoroughly studied the science behind breathing patterns, looking at concepts like breathing biochemistry, biomechanics, and cadence. If you're an individual or a group with a specific objective, Inhabit offers personalized sessions where you can collaborate to craft a tailored pathway that helps achieve your goals. You can visit their website in the description where you will find countless positive testimonials from individuals articulating their remarkable outcomes. The results speak for themselves. Finally, if you're enjoying the show, give the podcast a follow and also subscribe to Rishi Kurada on YouTube for short clips as well as a full podcast. And remember to check out hiddenfixes.com for the podcast blog. Today, we have Sean Pritchard on the show. Sean is the founder and CEO of Inhabit, a wellness and peak performance company that serves schools, businesses, and sports organizations. As a mindfulness and breathwork instructor, Sean co-developed the Inhabit method with his father, Gary, to help people feel and perform at their best. Sean is now on a mission to teach 1 million people how to properly breathe by January 2027. How is visualizing your goals the key to unlocking your potential? In today's episode, we dive into the powerful practices of visualization and breathwork and how they can transform your mindset and daily life. We discuss the importance of making time for reflection and how journaling can sharpen your focus. Discover what visualization truly is, why it's so effective, and how to practice it to achieve your goals. We also explore how breathwork serves as a tool for stress relief, the common pitfalls of poor breathing habits, and introduce the Inhabit breathwork technique. Tune in to find out how you can master your mind to create calm, clarity, and purpose in your life. So, with that being said, please help me welcome Mr. Sean Pritchard. Yes, Mr. Sean Pritchard, welcome to the show.
Rishi, my man, what an honor to be here, dude.
I'm so gassed. First of all, I feel like this is a special episode for me, so I have to start by thanking you, especially first of all, because I don't think without you this podcast would have ever been a thing. If you hadn't given me that opportunity to even have a taste of it while working with you and then hopping on a podcast with you, you are the inspiration for this podcast, so I feel like I have to thank you for that.
Bro, it's my pleasure, man. And here's the reality, dude, is knowledge without action and no outcome, bro. So you were able to take that information and you took action with it. And here we are, dude. There could have been hundreds of thousands of other freshmen, now sophomores in college that could have got the same info. But dude, you had the drive to make it happen. So when I saw that you got the domain, you sent me the mock-ups, I was like, all right, the homie's moving. So it makes me excited and just energized to be here and to talk, man. Do what we do best. Let's chop it up.
Love it, brother. I also feel like I need to thank you for something else, because before my sophomore year, you had a call with me, and I remember distinctly you sat me down and said, Rish, I think one of the things I want you to do is just take care of your morning routine. And in this morning routine, you talked about right when you get up, go get some sunlight. And the most crucial part, which I've been keeping up, is Rish, when you come back for a walk and get that sunlight, just journal for 10 minutes right when you get up. Mm. And bro, yesterday I hit day 50 and I'm so happy that you made me journal, bro. Why? Can I ask you, why were you so strong about journaling?
Mm. First of all, I got chills, dude, when you were just saying that. That's so hype. When I feel things in my body like this, I know that we're off to a good start. So the journaling piece is really interesting, man, because in the morning, what's so powerful is that when you wake up, your brain waves are slower. So for example, most people, when they're waking up, you know, they're coming out of the theta delta waves and starting to move towards alpha and then eventually getting to beta. And so beta is like when you're in that thinking mindset of, let's say that, you know, you're starting to answer emails, you're on Slack. Like most people will jump to that right when they wake up. But there's this beautiful window, man, in which you may be experiencing right now, and 50 days in a row, that's so hype. So you can access your subconscious and begin to get greater insights that are coming through. So like you have one person that wakes up, grabs their phone, peeps the cat memes, starts answering emails in Slack, and then starts their day. You have another person that may go out, get sunlight, do a workout, have a glass of water, do some breathing, start to journal. And everyone's routine looks different based on whether or not you have kids, like what your day looks like. But having that small window into journaling, man, is so powerful, because as you're probably starting to experience, is that how often do we genuinely pause as adults and be like, this is what I'm feeling right now? You know, like we do it, but it's in our head. It's in this echo chamber where our thoughts just rattle around. So what I look to do for myself and for my clients is like, I think about it as like a data dump. Sometimes it can be as simple as like at the top of your page, be like, right now I'm feeling, you start there and you begin to flow. And then what happens is you start to realize that conversation with that client or that friend, like I got to have that. Or like this idea for this new, whether it's a venture or initiative, marketing initiative, that may come through and you're like, oh my God, fire. Like I'm open and receiving to this. So I will always ask folks, as one of the key things to start the day is, can we take a little bit of time to do even 5 minutes of journaling to be able to create that dialogue with the subconscious, getting to know ourselves better and to clear some space so that when we start the day, we can start on the best foot possible.
Bro, you just reminded me. I read this article earlier and it's about Frank O'Brien, who was the CEO of the marketing agency Conversations. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but every first Monday of the month, he would dedicate his employees to just come in, and he chose Monday because if it was a Friday, work performance could be sluggish. So he wanted Monday because he wanted the work performance of the week to be at the highest possible. And he said, first Monday of every month, we're going to come in, we're going to lock ourselves in this room, no distractions, and we're just going to think. And bro, that is crazy to me that it is one of the most high performing marketing agencies. And every Monday, every first Monday of the month, they don't do anything related to actually working, but all they do is think. So for me, it just shows the importance of actually taking time out of your day, because if you don't have the time to think, bro, that just shows that you don't have enough time to actually prioritize yourself.
Exactly, man. And I have not read that book or familiar with that marketing agency, but that is amazing. Because if you think about it for a sec, like again, like whether it's reflecting or just genuinely stopping to think. I remember learning about this one strategy that was so simple, dude. It was sitting in a room and just staring at a blank wall, like literally a blank wall, and just starting to think and process and come up with ideas. Because what's our life typically consistent of now, Rishi? It's high dopamine hits, dude, and cheap dopamine hits. You know, it's like you're ripping Insta, YouTube shorts, you have your text messages, you got Slack, you got like, and a lot of these things, like, you know, they're tied into our day to day, like whether it's productivity tools around marketing, email, text, like there's outreach things that we have to do, but we don't really pause to get in tune with our higher consciousness and our higher ability to be able to make great decisions. And for example, if you have a company, and let's say that you're in go mode every single day, and you are in like, you're in a an outreach mode of where you're doing X amount of dials, you're doing emails, and you do this for months. And I'm sure you're creating pipeline throughout all of this. But then like you decide to do this exercise and you sit down, let's maybe say you do some breathing, you start to flow, you're journaling, and you're like, yo, wait a second. I actually have a friend of mine that runs this events company, and wait, oh my God, like she's connected to XYZ person, which would be an amazing collaborative opportunity. So I'm now out of the weeds, I'm outside the box, and I'm looking to run an event which we can create this beautiful paralleled, mutually beneficial experience for these people, and that can drive potentially revenue in this new way or exposure. So it's like those simple pauses to actually give yourself time to think and to reflect is so key.
Bro, I had Danny Cook. He was my football coach in high school. I had him on the pod, and he was talking about how his best moments of innovation actually come in moments where he's on the train, where he's just by himself. It's not actually when he's working in the office. It's when he's taking time away, and it's during these moments where he's just thinking to himself. And I think there's also this other aspect of journaling, which is, it just maintains my discipline, bro. Because I think a lot of people tend to lose promises for themselves. And I think journaling is actually almost a promise to someone else. It's your future self. So it's easier to keep that promise to that person, no?
Yes. Dude, I love that framing. It is a promise to your future self of like the insights and the growth that that future you deserves, and even like from a happiness and stillness standpoint. So it's like, and I think that's even rad, dude, of like zooming out for a second and just thinking about like habits in general. It's like, you said that you were going to train this day, you know, you were going to do this workout, or you were going to eat this way, or you were going to breathe and meditate, or maybe do something community related. It's like, and then you don't, and let's say that you just focus on like your work, or you get into, you know, a dopamine scroll, whatever it is, like you're letting down your future self, you know? And at the end of the day, like who picks up the bill? It's your future self, yep. Dude. It's not you right now. You know what I mean? It's like, it's you in 3 months from now. And sometimes I even think about this with prospecting and creating connections related to sales. It's like, if I in 3 months am concerned about like paying bills or whatever it is, or and I'm feeling up against the wall, it's not me now that I was concerned with. It's me 3 months ago that wasn't making the time to do this. So I love this idea of like creating a relationship with your future self and knowing that those promises should be kept if you want your future self to be happy.
I also like to talk about this other routine that you have with your clients and that you really endorse. And it's, I think, connected to keeping promises or relating to your future self is you're the king of visualization, man. So I don't want to do a disservice by even explaining what it is. I think you should actually explain why is visualization and so important and what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to. Do you want me to talk about it more generally or a specific use case?
First, let's define why it's used. I think that's pretty interesting. And then let's talk about why it's actually effective, why it works.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So there, in the way that I think about this, Rishi, is there are two levels to this. So the first level that I think about visualization is being able to visualize yourself. Let's say for within a football, like our example of, or soccer for those here in the US that are listening to this. Let's say that you are a free kick specialist, all right? Let's say that you are Messi. Just, I mean, like, is there anybody who you'd want more on the right side from like 22 yards out or 20 yards out?
Maybe Rishi Kirada, but
Rishi Kirada, perhaps Rishi. So the skill in this example would be hitting amazing free kicks. So in this case, what you can do, man, is you can use visualization as a way to improve your free kick ability without ever going to the field. So what's going on here? So when you are visualizing in your mind, for example, taking a free kick, your brain does not know the difference between real and imagined. And the way that you hone that skill, the way that you can improve it, is to make it one as real as humanly possible. So you want to bring in all the senses. So if I was Mesito, I would be visualizing myself striking the ball inside my left foot, because he's a lefty, of course, feeling the weight of the ball being struck inside my foot, the weight being shifted over onto my right foot, perhaps the wind, sun in my face, the sound of the ball is struck with a very specific tone when it's hit well, and even the sound of the net. You could add in other sonics such as the crowd as you would score, the emotion of feeling like you just scored and helped your team, like adding all of those things in. And what you're literally doing, dude, is that you are programming your brain and programming your body to do that specific skill better so that when you go to the field, you're actually more effective. And I think the best way for me to deliver this, dude, is actually in a study. So what I'll share the study that came out in the early 1970s in the Soviet Union. And what they found, man, is they wanted to look at a group of sports scientists wanted to see, could visualization impact free throw shooting in basketball? So they took three groups. The first group, they had them go into a gym for 30 minutes every day and shoot foul shots, just regular foul shots for 30 minutes. They got a baseline for them. The second group was the control, and they did not do any free throw shooting or visualization at all. So they're the control group. Yep. And the third group, this is the important one, they had themselves go into a dark room, hold the basketball, visualize themselves shooting the ball with perfect form, backspin, the sound of the net, even getting in the scent of the ball, bringing in the sound of the crowd, the squeakiness on the floor as they after they shot to go get the ball. It made it as real as humanly possible. Even the emotions, which is so key, dude, the emotion of scoring and what that feels like to you. So they added that all in, man. And I mean, it's a marquee study for a reason, because of the data that came back. It's pretty wild, man. So the first group that was shooting for 30 minutes every single day, they improved by 24%. Very solid for a month's worth of work. The second group, they were the control. They did not improve at all. And the third group that did not shoot a single foul shot for 30 days, all they did was hold the ball and visualize themselves, improved by 23%.
That's absurd.
So there was only a 1% difference, a 1% delta between the group that was shooting and the group that was visualizing.
Our brain is fascinating. I still can't believe that, bro. Like, how does that even... Explain to me, is visualization only effective when we're thinking of something physical? Can we also visualize ourselves being a better person in terms of certain characteristics?
Absolutely. That's such a great question, dude. And we absolutely can. And so there are multiple dimensions to this. The first one level that I was talking about was using visualization for skill development. So like there's a large ski group that I'm about to start, that we're about to start working with for downhill skiers, where visualization is going to be used paired with breath work. And we'll get into that in a little bit about why those two are so powerful together. But it can be used for skill development, but also, man, even for rewiring your brain on how you want to be as a person. So visualizing yourself being positive in situations, seeing yourself smiling, seeing yourself handling adversity well, seeing yourself attracting the relationships and people that you want in your life. So there are ways that you can use visualization for skill development. You can use visualization to rewire the story of self and who you are. And then the most profound way that I personally believe that visualization can be used is through communicating with the field, man. And this is tied to into quantum mechanics and even law of manifestation. And what this speaks to is that everything around us is composed of energy, right? Our thoughts, our actions, our words all have a vibrational resonance. So thus, if you are able to communicate with the field of what you're looking to attract, similar high vibrational things, for example, whether it's a financial status, whether it's a relationship you're looking for, a certain place that you want to be living in, there are things that are constantly going on under the surface that you can communicate and connect with. There are actually declassified CIA documents that came out in the last, I think in the last like 5 or 10 years, that talk about in the 80s, them doing research on how using the mind and heart connection can be used to influence the field. So this is not like voodoo stuff, dude. This is real ways that people have been using for thousands of years to influence and shape the reality around them by using visualization for what they want to attract.
Is it like the law of attraction? Is that what it is? Whatever you put out there, you attract back?
Yes, that's absolutely tied to it. Whatever you put out, you attract back. And then even from a quantum physics or a quantum mechanics standpoint, is that the subject has an imprint on the organization of matter. So we've been able to figure out that who we are and what we're thinking and feeling influences what's happening in the field, because we are truly connected. So it's fascinating to see science, especially in the last, you know, 20 years or so, really start to look at application for how things like law of manifestation and law of attraction, how these things come into our lives and how we can pair them with breathwork and visualization to help to draw these things through us. Can I tell a quick story about how
this comes
into play? Okay, so for folks that may be listening and being like, this kind of seems like a little bit of crap, I'm just going to share one story. I have multiple of them, but with a client of mine. So a client of mine is a very talented singer-songwriter. And we got connected about a little over a year ago. It was last August. And when she came to me, she was struggling with her mental health. Very talented golfer and musician as well. But one of the things that she was feeling held back on was putting out her own music. She was a diehard music fan. She was studying as a minor at her school, studying music. And what we wanted to do was like, okay, where do you want to be in 1 year from today? So what we did, man, was that we created a visualization for her that brought in her putting out her song, turning it on in her car, putting the windows down, feeling the rush of the emotion and release of what that feeling would be like, connecting with people in the music industry, getting a deal and looking to grow her career in that space. And granted, like at this point, she did not have a song put out. She had some ideas, but we got to work. And so I spent the first 3 to 4 months with her just working on how can you use breathwork and meditation to calm the mind and to create a better self story and to keep the mind clear so that you can hold a vision for longer. And so she like really leaned into it, man, because you know, a lot of this dude is you got to do the work on your side, right? It's like these, you got to commit to it. It's like, these are skills, brother. Like this is not like by chance. And I think one of the things that people get wrong about visualization, I want to highlight this, is like, oh, I'm going to put this Lamborghini and this giant house and these stacks of bread, like the stack of money and like, and you know, whatever other things that are on there. And it's like, I'm working the same job and I scroll Instagram for 6 hours a day. Yeah. And I'm not changing anything. So you need to have the action with it. So she took the action, dude. We created a custom visualization track, which had 2 rounds of the Inhabit breathwork technique, paired with visualization of her putting out her music, connecting with people in the record industry, in the music industry, and going through this whole experience. So we started that process in April, okay? We started working together last September. We started the visualization process in April. She went on to go into New York City. She was writing, going to writing groups. She was putting herself out there constantly. And so she was, again, increasing her surface area of luck too, because she was doing the action. She wasn't just kind of sitting on her hands. So fast forward, man, to this was 3 months after we started doing this. She did it every single day. Did the breath work, did the visualization, seeing yourself being successful, adding in the emotions, all of those key things. She gets invited to a party by one of her music teachers from this music group in New York City. She shows up there and is, and granted, dude, like it's an older crowd, you know, like her teacher's in her 50s. Could have been one of those things easily that she passed up on, was like, I'm not going to know anyone, yeah, anybody there. Goes there, starts networking, gets into this dope conversation with this guy that turns out to be a Grammy Award winning producer. What? This is crazy. Then he goes, wow, this is so interesting that you're into music too. Why don't you come to my studio in the East Village next week? And she hits me up when she comes back. And I'm like, she's probably been into 5 studio sessions in her entire life, mind you. Like, to go from basically, she doesn't have a single song out, to going to now meeting a Grammy Award winning producer, to getting an invite to come and do a session with him. Does the session. Guy has a great experience with her, doesn't hear back. He's traveling for a few months. He's all over the world. This guy's like legit, literally a Grammy Award winning producer. In September, she writes her an email and puts in an agreement for a 10 to 12 song deal to do with her, a publishing agreement to do with her. 2 days later, her song comes out, okay? So again, the chills, dude, are just like flowing, because this is the stuff that you cannot make up. I wanted to use an actual use case of how this is applied, because these things that are happening, the ability for her, the fact that she connected with that right music group, that person hit her up for that birthday party, that she happened to be available, that there's 50 people at the party. She happens to get into that conversation. It's like there are things going on below the surface, regardless of your beliefs, that are just a little bit curious. You know, let's just put it that way.
You have to make your own luck at the same time. People can say it's lucky, but you got to put yourself in a position where you can attain this luck. And for people that still don't believe it, I don't know how they wouldn't believe it. Michael Phelps, the greatest of all time in his sport, practices visualization all the time. That's how he got there. Bob Bowman, I'm pretty sure is his coach's name, he programmed this videotape, and it wasn't actually a recording. It was this videotape of the best perfect race that Michael Phelps can attain. And Michael Phelps would visualize this every morning he woke up and every night he went to sleep. And it was so strong that to the point where in training sessions, Bob Bowman would scream, "Plug in the videotape," and Michael Phelps would kick harder, push harder. And when it came to the race day, Michael Phelps didn't even need to push harder to get to this position. The perfect race became his default position. So visualization isn't actually just enacting something, it's about becoming it. So he actually took the perfect race and made it its default position, which I think is crazy to think about. Okay, but let's hear it, right? This is a superpower, in my opinion. What does a superpower look like daily? How do we practice it?
Love it. Dude, it has to be paired with visualization. It has to be paired with breathwork.
Yep.
In my mind, man, and my unique approach to this is pairing it with breathwork, because follow the science. What does the science tell us about breathwork? Is that one, that you are down regulating the nervous system so that you're becoming more calm, so that it can help to have a calmer mind. You're more just relaxed in general. So your ability to focus and hold imagery is enhanced. The next level of this, dude, is that your brain waves are slowing down. And this is what in my mind is what the secret sauce is. Because your brain waves are slowing down, you are able to access the subconscious through alpha brain waves, which is what we talked about when we began this podcast. And we know now through research that 95% of our day is driven by the subconscious. All of these unconscious habits and patterns and things that guide our lives. So dude, if you are an elite swimmer, for example, Ed Michael Phelps, if you are slowing down your brain waves through breath work and then visualizing yourself with the perfect exact race that you want, feeling the water on your skin, pushing away exactly how you want it to be, kicking harder, the perfect, you are able to create a deeper imprint on the mind. And that is going to talk about becoming something. That is how you become your highest self.
So give it to me. I'm a college student right now who's figuring out what I want to do. What's your advice? How do I practice visualization for a goal that I'm still not, I still don't know, that I'm still working to figure it out. What are the key things that I can still do in my own time while I'm on this journey?
It's a great question, man. I would go a layer deeper of, and we kind of talked about this as well, is like, I think it's great to have goals. One of my goals, as you know, is to teach a million people how to breathe.
Love it.
And I visualize myself I was just actually out on my porch a few hours ago, visualizing myself in front of 50,000 people, man, doing the same thing that I'm talking about, like influencing reality to attract the people, places, ideas to help me to get there. And it's already starting to happen, but also like seeing myself in that position of being able to guide 50,000 people through an experience, seeing myself adjusting the mic, the wave of diaphragmatic movement of people doing around the stadium with their breathing, like all of that tied in. So I am clear on my goals because I've really taken time to sit with them. So one of the things that I would start out first with before getting into like, you know, where getting into the specifics around visualizing yourself is starting to journal, dude. Starting to take time to reflect is like, what do you want out of life? Like, how do you want to spend your time? And what's challenging is, especially for young people, is that a lot of the times our lives are driven by what our parents or those around us want for us. And I think that that helps to a certain point, but then you have to go inward and figure out why you are here. Like, that's some real stuff, man, is that
each of us has a unique expression, a unique light that nobody else on earth has. When I do breathing sessions with 5 and 6 year olds, dude, I have them say to me what they want to be when they grow up so that we can visualize themselves doing that thing amongst the stars. Like, I have a whole thing planned with that. So the big thing, man, is to take the time to reflect and actually think about, how do you want to spend your time? What do you value? And also too, who do you want to become? So let's say, for example, that you are, you're a freshman and maybe you spent the first half of the year like partying too much, eating too much, like sleeping in, like just not being what you would consider the best version of yourself. Like, okay, it's all good. First of all, give yourself grace. We're all on our journeys together. Mm. Don't put too much pressure to be like, to get to anger. But we need to have urgency and drive for what we want to, what changes we want to make. So let's say, for example, you see yourself being in great shape, you're getting good grades, you're financially well, you have awesome relationships, like not even on like some goal stuff of getting to a certain number or building something, just like you can have goals for how you want to improve yourself. So what I would do, if you want to go to that level of, let's say, being successful physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, figuring out what that looks like. And then I would take time to go through the Inhabit breathwork technique, man, which is a very powerful technique for calming the mind and creating space to pair with visualization. So the Inhabit breathwork technique, for those that that are curious, is you take 10 deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. This is level one. In through the nose, out through the mouth. And on that 10th breath, you breathe all the way out, hold that breath, and then you go into slow, soft nasal breaths from 5 seconds to 6 seconds to 7. And what's fascinating about this technique, man, is that when I first came up with it, one of my goals was, how can I help humans to slow down their breathing? If you look at the animal kingdom, looking at mice to, for example, to whales, zoologists and pulmonologists, so pulmonologists are breathing specialists, they theorize that breathing speed could be in fact tied to life expectancy. So one of my goals is to help humanity to slow down their breathing. So when you do this technique, then you go into the visualization and you're seeing yourself in the first person getting up, going to the gym early, working through that little challenge of when the alarm goes off and just getting up out of bed, seeing yourself moving the weight, seeing yourself in the library, doing the hard work to prepare for the test, seeing yourself calling up your buddy who was just down because his girl broke up with him, being a good friend. Like, you can visualize yourself doing those things. And trust me, what's starting to happen is that you are neurologically rewiring your brain. That's one, right? The first level. But the second level, dude, is that you are now starting to communicate to the field, all of the energy around you, how you want to live your life.
Let's talk about the foundations. I like this because I come from an Indian background. A lot of my family meditates in the morning. It's the first thing they do. Amazing. And the book Breath that you gave to me, I was halfway through it, and the experiment that the author does in it, brilliant. And I think the main thing I took away was, as a college student, we go through a lot of stress because we're trying to figure out an identity. And I think what I realized from that book is mindfulness and wellness is highly correlated with stress relief. So What is a practice I can do every day when I'm, like you said, figuring out my foundations before I even get to the visualization that I can do just to relieve the stress in my life?
It's great, dude. And I love this because while I do believe the Inhabit breathwork technique is an incredibly powerful technique, yep, for stress reduction and to be paired with visualization, peak performance, all of this stuff, even lung capacity expansion, the first level, bro, is proper breathing, is to be able to rewire your habitual breathing pattern. And there are four levels to there are four pieces to this, and I'll just go through them briefly. So this is where I would start. If you've never done breathwork before, if you've never done meditation, start with your habitual breathing pattern. We take around 20,000 breaths every day, but not all breaths are created equal. So the way that we breathe, man, is so directly tied to how we feel. It impacts every single cell in our body. Think about it like this for a second. The average adult has 10 to 40 trillion cells, okay? Some, depending on the age, it can be trillions to tens of trillions. Each of those cells requires what? Oxygen to be able to be delivered down into the cell. Each of those cells has that mitochondrial function to create energy. So if you can thus improve oxygen delivery to each cell, you create a macro improvement, do a huge, huge improvement in how the body works. Your digestion, your energy levels, how the mind works, your blood flow, all of those things. And it's really simple, man. There's four pieces. The first piece is to breathe in and out through the nose. So essential. When you breathe in and out through the nose, you are able to improve oxygen uptake in the blood anywhere from 10 to 20%. You are also improving nitric oxide delivery by 6 times. Okay, when you breathe through the mouth, you do not get nitric oxide delivery. Nitric oxide delivery is so critical, Rishi, because it only comes out through the sinuses. And when it does come out through the sinuses, it opens up your airways. So it's a bronchodilator. It makes it easier to breathe, but it also is a vasodilator. So it dilates your blood vessels and improves blood flow. So step one is to breathe in and out through the nose as consistently as you can throughout the day. Step two is to slow down your breathing. 5 seconds on the inhale and exhale to give that air time to get down to the lower parts of the lungs, which are more rich with blood because of gravity. So slow is the way to go. The third piece of this, man, is to breathe with the diaphragm. And when you're breathing with the diaphragm, what happens is that it triggers what's known as the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is responsible for the parasympathetic nervous system. This is the relaxation side of the nervous system. When you breathe in this way, man, it lowers your heart rate, it lowers your blood pressure, and it puts the body into a state of homeostasis so that it can be more clear. Very, very critical. The fourth piece of this, man, is to breathe softly and lightly. So your audience may be thinking, like, softly and lightly, like, I thought I should be taking big, deep breaths all the time. But science tells us actually something different, is that when you breathe softly and lightly, when you train yourself to breathe in that way, what happens, man, is that your CO2 levels will rise. Your CO2 levels rise so that you're able to actually put more oxygen into the cells. It's called the Bohr effect. And the example I'll give to your audience, and because I'm sure you'll have some people that are athletes, is high altitude training. So in high altitude training, you go up to higher altitudes where there's less oxygen. You train the body up at the higher altitude so that what happens is when you come back down to sea level, your body is more efficient at using that oxygen. Breathing like this is no different. Patrick McCowan, who's one of the biggest breath researchers on the planet, he says, bring the mountain to you, which I love. And so when you breathe softly and lightly, your CO2 levels rise so you can get more oxygen into the cells. So just in summary, man, in and out through the nose, breathe slowly, breathe with the diaphragm, and breathe softly. So I would, on a consistent basis, every time throughout the day that you start to feel stressed, or even when you have a moment of mindfulness, when you start to become aware of your breath, start by doing three breaths in that way. And I'd be happy to even show an example of what that looks like. Or we can even link out a video for folks to go and check out. Like, that's fine too. But doing 5 minutes of that intentional breathing in that way per day, and then throughout the day, taking a post-it, putting it on your computer, putting it in your bathroom that just says breathe well or slowly breathe. It doesn't matter. As long as it triggers the mind to know that, okay, let me tune into my breathing here and slow it down. Because, dude, when I had anxiety and depression and I would have, when I would hyperventilate, breathing in through the mouth, the breathing starts to get out of whack when you feel stress. So if you can control your breath, you can deeply manage your stress levels and improve the quality of your life.
Tommy, you just suggested to me a while ago to get mouth tape, and I've been using it for a week and a half, and I feel like I've been breathing in like 4K. I'm still getting used to it. but my breath is just getting better, I think, while I'm sleeping. And the one thing is, when I'm waking up, bro, I don't even know if this is related. You're the expert. You tell me. Maybe it's a placebo. I don't think it is, but I'm waking up and I feel like I'm way more, I'm not slumped. I'm not sluggish. I feel more energized to get up. I when I see that alarm going off, and maybe it's because I'm monitoring my sleep because of the mouth tape, I don't know. But when I get up, bro, I don't feel so, that discouraged to press the snooze button. Like I'm up. I feel ready to go.
Dude, you're so spot on. And again, knowledge without action means nothing. This is why I love you, dude, is that you just do the things. And like, look, you're getting results. Like it's so powerful, man. And I'm with you. When I mouth tape, it feels like I get 1 to 2 more hours of sleep per night. Like name another sleep hack that does that. Like it's crazy, man. And the reason why, dude, just think about this for a second. So a couple of things are happening that are really profound. One, as we said, you're improving oxygen delivery uptake 10 to 20%. So all night, bro, through the nose. Most of us switch over to mouth breathing when we start sleeping. It's super, super powerful. So the reason why you feel so refreshed is that you're having one, improved oxygen delivery, but also, bro, you have that nitric oxide improvement. So now you're improving blood flow. So your body just feels fresher and ready to start the day. So that's another one of my ways that I like to help people is once they could become more familiar with the nasal breathing and start with that, going over to the mouth tape, such a natural transition. I witnessed my dad kick a 40-year snoring habit in 1 week of mouth taping.
This seems like a necessity, this inhabit breath work. Can you explain, not in like a apocalyptic way or a super negative way, but what happens or what's currently happening with a lot of people when they're not focusing on the breath work?
Yeah, man. I think, I mean, this is the day and age of information, man. And everything is competing for our attention. That's not a new idea. But what I'll say is that the amount of dopamine hits that we have on a daily basis and inbound stimulation, like we are in a battle for our minds right now, like for most people. And not to sound overly apocalyptic, but at the same time, like if we continue on down this path, like I am concerned that we will continue to be incredibly stressed, overweight, have poor sleep, and not be able to live the lives that we truly want. Because what happens, bro, is like when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling tired, do you have capacity to go after your dreams?
Absolutely not.
No, bro, you don't. And it's just the reality of it. You know what I mean? Like if you are working a job and you're barely getting by at that job and your sleep is crap and your nutrition is crap and your breathing's crap and you're just feeling like crap, like it's going to be hard for you to evolve out of that state. So the reason why, brother, I look at this as the foundation. It's like we were given the car without ever going to driver's ed. For some reason here in the West, like no one teaches us how to breathe. So for some reason, man, I am just absurdly obsessed with breathing. And I view this as a gift of, for some reason, this came through of like, this is my path. And so this is how I spend my days, man. I could be in a Lyft ride to JFK. I've done this multiple times where I'm with my driver and he or she's having a bad day. And I'm like, yo, let's pull over 5 minutes before. Like, I got you. And we'll do breathing, man. And I've done this with 3 times. I've never seen these people again. Like, and I have other instances of like coaches or people that I meet on the street or, you know, we've done thousands of people at this point. And the vision is just to help as many people as we can get the breathing set. Because if your breathing is set, your stress levels will be lower and you'll have more capacity for what life throws at you.
Mate, you're doing absolute wonders. And I promise you that because you've helped me out a lot with my breathing. And I'm telling you right now, without practicing this, and actually I think Tim Ferriss, he's an American entrepreneur, but he says 80% of the people that he interviews, and they're successful people, obviously, but they practice some sort of meditation, breath work. So you're doing wonders. And I'm actually interested. Can you tell me, what is the best case in terms of the clients you've worked with that you've seen in terms of the impact of breath work?
The best case. And I really appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
Best case, I mean, dude, the situation with one of my clients getting the offer for the deal, that was like amazing, because for me, that speaks to not just calming the mind and reducing anxiety, which I'm all about. Like, I want all humans to improve the quality of their lives, but seeing somebody be able to use the skills and then go after their dreams to change the trajectory of their life, like, that's amazing. Another story, I work with a professional MMA fighter.
Yes. Please explain this. I love it.
Yeah. Shout out Kyle Driscoll. The story I'll tell about this is that we were helping him prepare. We were 6 weeks out of a very big fight that he had last June. And what we did was we did the Inhabit breathwork technique paired with visualization. And I had created, just like my one client with the music ambitions, we designed a visualization for Kyle so that he could be successful on the night that he had to fight his opponent. And what we did, man, is we went moment by moment from his walkout to coming into the cage, to the music, to the announcer, to his mom and his boy in his corner, to how he wanted to approach the fight and ultimately TKO the guy, like everything we had mapped out. And we drilled this for 6 weeks straight. And then the fight comes and it was a Friday night. It was so hype. I wasn't at the fight, but I had to set up my computer and it went down exactly how we had planned, except it was one round earlier.
Oof.
Like the exact same TKO getting on top of him, the exact same combination that we were looking at, it happened. And it was so powerful, dude. And he called me after that and was like, dude, you're with me on every single camp going forward. So that's just one example of like what, you know, I'm an athlete, man. I played college soccer. I still coach. I love sports. And so like, and I'm a musician too. I play guitar and piano. And so when I see people in those spheres, like doing well and thriving, it just makes me like extra excited, man, because I just know that, like you said, bro, like calming the mind like this and the fact that your family in the East, like this is part of their practice, dude, it's, there's a reason why these practices have been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's because they unequivocally work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I was saying to, I had a group of soccer players I was training last week, 25 high school girls, and they came out of it and they were like, oh my God, like I feel so relaxed. Like this is amazing. And I just said to him, I was like, there's a reason why people have been doing this for a long time. It's because it works. So you starting this now as like a 15-year-old in this example last week, these are lifelong skills.
Mate, I love it. I mean, what can you not do? That is the question. All right. So this is brilliant. And I'll be honest, you've given me some solid advice throughout the weeks. And I got to ask you, I've been doing this with all my guests. What is the best advice you've ever been given?
The best advice I've ever been given. Oh, dude, the chills. Okay, the best advice I'd ever been given, and I actualized this, dude. So when I was, this was in 2014, I was just graduating college. I finished up at Montclair State, and my dad told me a quote, and he said, "It's the start that stops most people. You don't know until you do." It was like the first line is, "It's the start that stops most people." Oh no, it's no one ever knows until they do. It was like the second part I'm unsure of, but the first piece is for sure. It's the start that stops most people. And I was like, here I am, I'm graduating college. I have aspirations for some reason to go out to San Francisco. And I did, dude. And I started and I just went out there. I drove Uber. I worked on startups. I worked as an SDR at like cold calling. And I just went for it, dude. And I built. And then my next moment during COVID, I was 28 at the time. And I was like, dude, am I going to be 40 and have not started my thing? And it just backed away from my dreams. It's a start that stops most people. And I was like, I'm going for it, dude. And I quit my job. And here I am 4 years later. I'm blessed enough to be impacting thousands of people. And for those that are interested in
making change in their life, just know that, just to start, man. Just like you did, bro. This is a perfect example. This ties in well to you. You started, dude. You got the domain. You did the write-up. You, like, within weeks, you made action on that and put it into reality. So that's what most people don't do, bro, is they have these ideas for how they want to evolve and things that they want to do, and they sit on their hands, and then they realize 10 years later, they're like, man, I just watched my life pass me by. So my challenge for all of you is that you are unique. You have divine power within you. You are beautiful. And to express that in your own unique way and to start, whatever that is.
Sean, you are an absolute inspiration to me. I don't say enough, but you're also an inspiration to everyone. And I truly mean that. Let us know where you can find you. And for the smart people that want to take their lives back, tell them where we can get Inhabit and how we can reach out to you.
I love it, buddy. You can reach out to us at Inhabit Mind Body, which is our IG at Inhabit Mind Body, or you can shoot me an email, which is Sean, S-E-A-N, at inhabitmindbody.com. Always down to talk with all different types of folks. And today's call, we talked a lot about athletes and about peak performance and that side. But I work with a lot of, for example, moms that have busy lives that want to be able to improve their stress management. We work with all different types of coaches and teachers and students. So we have a very wide range of programs and experiences that we offer folks. So know that if you are feeling stressed, if you are interested in improving the quality of your life, reach out to us and we'd be honored to help you.
And we'll link the breath recording down below. I'm sure everyone's going to need it after what they've learned today. Sean, I appreciate you having me today. I will say this is episode 5, but this is one of my favorite episodes so far, and I think it will be for a long time. So thank you, brother. It means the world to me.
It's my pleasure, man. Episode 5. Let's go.